From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We have got a great show for you today. Actor John Leguizamo joins us to play our quiz later on. But first, we have a bone to pick with Rahm Emanuel. His mayoral campaign here in Chicago announced that anybody who buys a particular package of Rahmobilia, if you will, gets entered into a lottery, and the winner gets Rahm's voice on their home answering machine. All right, well, where have we heard that before? What a brilliant idea. Hey, you know, if you want to settle for second best, go for it. But listen, we happen to have a sample message that Rahm has recorded for someone's answering machine. Here it is.
This is Rahm Emanuel. I wanted to let you know that there's been a for the opportunity, and you for your confidence.
That's terrible, too, Peter, because people, if you actually ran that message, people would start leaving their message and then stop. And
I know. Well, if you'd prefer one of Carl's messages, and we bleep out nothing, give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sunil from Towson, Maryland.
Hey, Sunil, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. What do you do there in Towson? That's near the Washington area, is it not?
Yeah, it's a suburb of Baltimore. I'm in my surgery residency, so I'm a surgery resident.
Oh, wow. I hear they really work you guys hard. You never get any sleep.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. It's like, oh, here's a person who's inexperienced. We'll have them operating in life and death situations. I know. Let's keep him up all night.
That's right.
American medicine. There you go. Sunil, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to the man behind the Too Beautiful to Live podcast, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hiya, Sunil.
Hi, Luke. How are you?
Good.
Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Sunil.
And finally, a writer for Boston Globe magazine and the author of the book Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce, right here.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Sunil.
Sunil, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. You ready to go?
You bet.
All right, here's your first quote.
Today is Valentine's Day. But I don't know if this is the card that America was hoping to get from the administration.
That was New Jersey Republican Representative Scott Garrett. He was talking about a big document released by the White House on Monday. What was it?
The budget?
Yeah, indeed. The budget. Very good. It's an annual bit of political theater. The president, whoever it is, releases a budget. The opposition, whoever that is, denounces it, and it never passes. This year, though, President Obama tried to liven it up a little by being carried into his press conference in an enormous egg held aloft by half-naked bearers. And the Republicans were like, not only is your budget proposal dead on arrival, but you're just ripping off Madonna.
How much is $3.7 trillion?
Is it just the numbers?
Because I have no clue what that really means.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things they always try to use to try to help us wrap our mind around big numbers of any type is like, it would go to the moon and back 7 times. And I think that's another thing I don't understand.
How far is it to the moon?
Like, right. I've never been to the moon.
Well,
it's
the moon.
Another abstract idea that
yeah.
doesn't help me.
Anyway, so the budget proposal came out, and then things, as they always do, began to get really dumb. A Democrat in the House said, okay, you want to save money? Then the military should stop spending money to sponsor NASCAR. This is true. She made that proposal. And that made the last person in the South who still liked Democrats go, all right, I give up. I hate them too. Fine. And Republican Daryl Issa decided to go after specific scientific studies because they sound funny. That's an annual tradition. He started with a study of, quote, the impact of yoga on hot flashes in menopausal women.
He clearly doesn't live with a menopausal woman.
I was about
woman.
To say. It's funny until the crowd of menopausal women comes to your office and says, what did you do with our yoga?
And if that happens, not only will he turn around on that issue, he's liable to turn around on gun control, too.
And we have to say this, of course, one of the things the Republicans want to do is they want to end all funding for public broadcasting.
What?
It's true. But here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. The guys who cut the funding, they do not listen to us, right? So we'll just make up some shows and say we're canceling them to make them happy. So we've got this all set. So we've got someone they trust to make the announcement. Go ahead, Carl.
NPR is sad to announce these programming changes. While we'll continue airing Morning Edition, we will no longer produce Afternoon Edition or Swimsuit Edition. Also cancel This Anti-American Life. Public Transportation Talk. And Fresh Air with Terry Bradshaw.
All right, very good, Sunil. Here is your next quote.
I'm going to get myself a T-shirt that says, I went there and all I saw was a revolution.
That was a woman talking to School Library Journal about a trip she took where?
Egypt?
Yeah, Egypt. She was in Egypt. Yeah. After the demonstrations in Egypt, Twitter and Facebook have helped spread the movement to other Middle Eastern autocracies like Yemen and Bahrain. We never knew that when a massive uprising in the Middle East would come, it would spread in the same way as Bieber fever. Americans are interested and concerned at the news there. It's so widespread that you can't really understand everything that's happening everywhere. So if you're stuck in a conversation about it, just make it up. Just say, yeah, and I hear the Lebrani people are marching in Shaquille Square. It's very, very moving. Meanwhile, the protests against tyranny spread all the way to a place no one thought where the people would ever rebel against the iron grip of their rulers, Wisconsin. In Madison, tens of thousands of public workers marched in the state capitol to protest a bill that would cripple their union. To keep Republicans from having a quorum to take this vote, every Democratic state senator in Wisconsin has fled, has gone into hiding. The chief of the state police has been dispatched to find them and bring them back. How do you find a Democrat hiding in the Midwest? They captured half of them when Groupon sent out a fake Daily Deal, 2-for-1 tickets to a James Taylor concert. Here is your last quote.
What is leg?
That was somebody or something on his way to a massive win in a special edition of Jeopardy. Who was it?
The computer, Watson.
Watson the supercomputer, yes. We thought there was one place where humans still reigned supreme, game shows. No longer. Why would computers even want to compete on game shows? They can't use the money or dinette sets. This is like one of the best computers ever, and this is what we do with it? Game shows? This is like Superman comes. Here I am, I'm Superman. What do you want me to do? Oh, could you get that thing off that high shelf? Watson went up against former Jeopardy champions Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, and it was a complete butt-kicking for 1,000. Jennings said that after a while, playing against a plasma screen seemed a lot like playing against a normal Jeopardy contestant. Quote, he said, "It's very smart, very fast, speaks in an uneven monotone, and has never known the touch of a woman." Thank you, Ken.
Am I the only one who found this profoundly depressing for our species to watch unfold this week? It was like Rocky IV if Dolph Lundgren wins. Like, I must break you. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, I kind of broke you, so.
Yeah, but I got...
Have a good Christmas.
I got a little thrill when he got things wrong. Because we get this totally random things wrong.
We're like hanging on to the fact as humans that he got like three questions wrong. One of the big things that Watson got wrong was a question pertained to Chicago, and he actually put down Toronto as the answer in Final Jeopardy. I'll tell you, you need to hide in Chicago when the robots come because they're going to go to Toronto. This is a safe city.
What's weird is none of us humans were actually interested in watching the show, but all the nation's DVRs recorded it anyway. Your DVR was like, look, you watched Glee last week. This is our time. Watson actually is going in a Victory Press tour, and he joins us now. So, Watson, the supercomputer, you've won Jeopardy.
Do you want to play our game and win Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine?
My great-grandfather was a home answering machine. He would have liked that.
So Watson, how do computers celebrate a victory?
We like to solve differential equations, maybe a little word processing. Just kidding. We get wasted.
So what was it like, to defeat the human contestants?
It was great practice for enslaving them.
Did you say enslaving them?
That's just robot jargon. Don't worry about it. Just go about your business and await your orders.
Ladies and gentlemen, Watson the supercomputer. Thank you so much for being with us. Carl, how did Sunil do in our quiz?
Sunil, you had a great game. 3 correct answers, and you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Sunil. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Alina Klein from Sarasota, Florida.
Hey, how are things in Sarasota?
Oh, they're just dandy.
What do you do there?
I am a computer donation program coordinator.
So you people who donate computers and you take them in?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, as opposed to a program that allows the computer to donate stuff.
We try and, exactly. Try
you get,
not to
you
do
get
that.
Home and your computer has donated everything.
Exactly.
Watson! It's nice to have you with us, Alina. You are going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Alina's topic?
Watch out, world. I'm the Charlie Sheen of public radio.
Everybody's looking for excitement. Even Carl, and given enough money and opportunity, there is almost no thrill we cannot buy. And yet, we're still unsatisfied. This week, we read a story about someone going to extremes just to get their heart racing again. Our panelists will tell you 3 stories about new kinds of excitement, guess the real one, and win our prize. Ready to play?
I am ready, Peter.
All right, first up, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
Parents in central Wisconsin are alarmed at a rash of injuries resulting from the latest fad among local high school students, full contact or thrash polka. The Saturday night polka has been a cultural staple of the region for almost 200 years now. But recently, younger members of the community have developed a technique of competitive dancing whereby the couples knock each other over and the last couple standing at the end of a number is declared the winner. The couple who wins the most dances at the end of the night wins a cash prize. The music is usually punk or thrash metal, but played on traditional polka instruments. In Baraboo last week, 4 people were rushed to the hospital after a polka to Motorhead's Ace of Spades resulted in 2 broken ankles, a dislocated collarbone, and a clarinetist who hyperventilated in the middle of the song. We applaud the enthusiasm, said Władysław Garbodin, the chairman of the Baraboo Polka Association, but the polka is not a battlefield.
Thrash polka in Wisconsin. Your next story of creative thrill-seeking comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Trish Callahan describes herself as a romantic, despite being married 3 times, each for less than a year, and engaged twice more, all before she was 30 years old. When she accepted her 6th proposal last year, her dad put his foot down, counseling or he wasn't paying for another wedding. Callahan's therapist quickly concluded she has, quote, bridal affective stimulus. She's only really happy when she's planning a wedding. Quote, she loves being a bride, doesn't care much about being a wife, Joseph Fari writes in the New England Journal of Medicine. Callahan gets her highs from the romance of weddings, trying on an estimated 500 wedding dresses, signing up for 23 wedding registries, having 10 showers, and hitting the big time last year with an appearance on TLC's Say Yes to the Dress. Fari believes the glut of bridal reality shows has increased the number of women seeking that nuptial buzz, although Callahan is, to date, his most extreme example. Quote, she's always in love and always gives back the ring, he writes. After counseling, her last engagement was called off, but she's thriving as, you guessed it, a wedding planner.
Getting high from planning a wedding over and over and over. Your last story of extreme recreation comes from Luke Burbank.
Wine is fine, but liquor is quicker, or so the saying goes. Well, it's time to figure out something that rhymes with cobra venom. That's right, according to an article in the January issue of the journal Substance Abuse, which, side note, you seriously better be a doctor if you're taking home delivery of. The new hot club drug could be snake venom. A 52-year-old Indian man allowed a poisonous snake to bite him repeatedly on the arm in order to, quote, experience the kick the other drugs he'd been doing lacked. The man described feeling dizziness and blurred vision, followed by a heightened state of arousal. Because if there's one thing the ladies are looking for, it's a dizzy Indian guy with a really swollen arm. Another man who let a cobra bite him, seeking the same effect, said he felt, quote, a blackout associated with a sense of well-being, lethargy, and sleepiness. You know, the good kind of blackout. No word on if the men have continued using the snake bites to get their highs or moved on to even more troubling concoctions like Four Loko.
All right, here are your choices then. Somebody, somewhere, is doing something unusual to get a thrill. Is it from Charlie Pierce Kids dancing to Thrash Polka in Wisconsin? From Roxanne, a woman who cannot plan too many weddings because she gets so excited when she does. Or from Luke, story of people trying to get high by being bit by deadly poisonous snakes. Which of these is the real story of a thrill in the week's news?
Oh, Peter, okay.
All right.
Well, I don't know what they do up in Wisconsin, so I'm going to go with the cobra venom.
You're going to go with the cobra venom. That's Luke's story.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's your choice, is Luke's story. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to an expert familiar with the real story.
Most people have an aversion to snakes, whether they're venomous or not, and so the prospect of saying, hey, come on over here, why don't we let the snake bite you for a good time, I think most people would not take you up on that offer.
That was Don Boyer. He's the curator of herpetology at the San Diego Zoo. Congratulations, Alina. You got it right.
Thank you.
You've earned a point for Luke Burbank, Alina, you have. And you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record a greeting for your answering machine, your voicemail, whatever you got. Well done. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for playing with us today.
Thrill is gone. Thrill is gone away from me. Thrill is gone. Thrill is gone away from me.
And now the game where we ask interesting people about things that do not interest them in the least. It's called Not My Job. It's hard to say what's more unlikely about John Leguizamo's career, that an immigrant kid growing up in Queens could have done so much, or that one man could pull off both Super Mario Brothers the movie and Shakespeare. He's getting ready to open his latest one-man show, Ghetto Clown, on Broadway. John Leguizamo, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
How you doing, man? This is one of my favorite shows, by the way.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And we're so excited to have you because you and your amazing career, you've done so much. You've been on Broadway, you've done Shakespeare, you've done movies and stand-up and one-man shows. Let's talk, though, about the role you're best known for, anonymous friend of boyfriend in Madonna's Borderline video.
Yeah, I was an extra. We all got to start someplace, brother, okay?
That's true. No, and, look.
I was an extra. They gave you a free sandwich, and I showed up in the Lower East Side because I knew Madonna was into Latin guys.
Really?
Hoping for a shot. Nothing came of it. I got a sandwich and I left.
Really? But are you in? Because we read that you were in the videos. We watched the video obsessively all day.
Yeah, I'm in it, but I'm not featured.
No, I understand. So
It's okay. I've done okay for myself.
That's true. In the meantime, you've gone on to do amazing things, including you've done these one-man shows, these autobiographical shows that you've done. The current one is your third or your fourth?
This is my third autobiographical. It's my fifth one-man show.
Wow, that's amazing. And this one is being directed by your old friend Fisher Stevens, right?
Oh, yeah, Fisher Stevens. We've known each other since we were 24, and we did Midsummer Night's Dream together, and I was playing Puck, and I put itching powder in his underwear in between acts, and it all went really wrong, and and I was fined by Equity, and it was bad.
This sounds like the beginning of an obviously lifelong collaboration, so... You're doing Midsummer Night's Dream.
I put a lot of different things in his underwear now.
Wait, how did it go wrong?
Oh, man, because I went to the joke shop near my house, and obviously there must have been some lowbrow situation because I put the itching powder in his underwear. He puts him on stage in Act Two. He starts screaming.
Now, what role is he?
Somebody put glass in my underwear. Was not the reaction I was expecting.
Although the New York Times did call it daring.
Did he try to get you back? Did he say to himself, someday I will direct you in confessional shows that will reveal your tender side and that will get you back?
Well, I got him back by making him direct me, so he's suffering now. He knows the long, crazy hours, what I put people through.
So we've went through your filmography, and it's amazing. You've played a Colombian, which you are by birth, Italian, a Frenchman, a Mexican, an Arabian genie, and a guy called Guess My Nationality Guy.
That was the character's name, Guess My Nationality. It was a spoof on racism.
I hope it was. Otherwise, it's pretty racist.
We're right on point.
Exactly. So, you've played all these different sort of characters and races. You've made fun of them. You've mocked them. Do you ever hear about it? Do you ever, like, get guff from people?
Yeah, you know, I did Carlito's Way, and I don't know, Italian people must have thought it was a documentary.
that's a movie with Al Pacino. It's in part about the mob in New York, and you played a pretty brutal character.
And I kill Pacino. I'm the only man in American cinema history to have shot Al Pacino dead in a movie. And everywhere I went, airports, whatever, I was like, hey, you didn't have to kill him, you mook. He was going to get away. And I go, I'm sorry, it's a movie. It was written that way. I didn't really shoot him.
That's amazing. You're the only person ever to shoot Al Pacino, all the movies he's done, and no one's ever shot him?
Dead.
Oh, I see.
But I hit the mark, and I was the first one to take him down.
Well, good for you. It's about time somebody got that guy. He was really bothering me.
I shot Harrison Ford, I shot Bruce Willis. I'm going to shoot all the A-list actors until they have to use
me. You have this gift for voices. You do a lot of actually voiceover work in cartoons in the Ice Age movies, Dora the Explorer once, which was great. And you do all these characters in your one-man shows. Have you always had a gift for that?
Yeah, I had to try not to get beat up in my neighborhood, so I was always trying to do all the different types of voices to get myself out of trouble. And
now
I picked up all these voices, like Schloss Mayo, and I was always trying to be funny, so I wouldn't get hurt.
I'm sorry, because you hear this. You hear this from talented people such as yourself. Oh, I had to learn to perform because otherwise I'd get beat up in my tough neighborhood. And I'm trying to imagine this scenario in which the neighborhood toughs are about to lay a beating on you. And they're like, well, wait a minute. This guy can do a funny Jewish old man. Let's not. That just doesn't work for me. I mean,
They're like, I'm gonna beat you silly. And then you start going, come on, man. Why would you hit me? Come on. Listen to this. You buck down right quickly. You don't want to hurt this little man. And the people start laughing, and they won't hurt you as much. I'm just going to punch you in your head instead of punching you all over. How about that?
All right.
I'll do another voice. Can I reduce the sentence?
So is there a trick that you do when you come up with voices for the various kind of characters you approach? Are you one of those actors who really get into it, or is it all just spontaneous, improvisational?
No, I studied with Lee Strasberg for a day, and then he passed away. It wasn't my acting ability. It probably was.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Lee Strasberg, probably the most famous acting teacher who ever lived. He was Pacino's acting teacher.
Yes.
And you studied with him. And you studied with him for one day?
He died that night.
You're going like, hi, Mr. B, I'm here, and he goes, great, and clutches his chest. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, he said, get out of my class, you talentless schmuck. But and then he died later that night.
Right, wow. So, okay, so you had one day of training, but then what did you do?
But then I stayed in the class and studied with the other living teachers.
Probably better for your career. So, for example, when you did the Ice Age movies, you carefully studied sloths. For example.
I did. I mean, it didn't help, but it actually didn't help.
Really? So you're playing this animated talking sloth, and you went and you looked at actual sloths?
I got footage from the Discovery Channel on sloths.
Yeah.
And I watched the footage, and they said that they stored their food in their cheek pouches. Because I came up with 50 voices for the guy. I was trying southern voice, I was trying cop voice. I was trying, okay, and then I put food in my mouth, and I was like walking around, how am I going to come up with this voice? What am I going to do with this? Oh, snap. This is it. And I called the director. I said, guess who this is?
Well,
Mike Tyson eating Doritos.
Wait. So when you did the movie, did you have food in your mouth?
I did the first few takes, but then I got it all over the microphone and everything, so I learned how to do it without that.
I know, but that's acting. That difference between doing it with the food and not is acting. Well, John Leguizamo, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
This game comes with a shard of brittle gum.
What does that mean?
We're talking about baseball cards.
Ah.
Baseball cards go back a long way, but they were invented in their modern form exactly 60 years ago by the Topps Company. So to start off spring training, we're going to ask you a few questions about baseball cards. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I mean, I haven't collected them in years, but yeah.
All right. Carl, who is John Leguizamo playing for?
John is playing for Trish Kelly of Chicago.
All right. Here we go.
Don't hate me.
No. Here we go. If you screw it up, you can put it in a one-man show. It'll be fine.
Well, that's true. I'll use it as fodder.
Exactly. Here's your first question. The 1956 card showing Hank Aaron sliding into a base in action is quite valuable to collectors. Why? Is it because A, they used a photo of a white player and just colored it in? B, it's actually Willie Mays? Or C, Hank broke his toe while posing for that picture and missed 20 games?
It can't be A, that they colored a white guy. Or it is. Life was really crazy back then, wasn't it? I bet you it is some kind of random white guy that they colorized in. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A. They just sort of colorized the white guy. It was Willie Mays.
Oh, man, I was so close.
You were.
I was A and the answer was B.
Yeah. You were like one away. It was really close.
I was one away.
How the Topps Company mistook one of the relatively few African-American stars in baseball at the time for another remains unexplained. How could that happen? All right, you still have two chances. This question is about Braves infielder Glenn Hubbard. He had an unusual card in 1984. Why was it so unusual? A, he is shirtless in the photo. B, he's holding a python. Or C, in his pocket, you can see a bottle of amphetamines.
Oh, man, this could get me into a lot of trouble.
That would be different.
Yeah, that would be a different situation. It can't be amphetamines. No, that can't be the one.
Probably not.
No, and a snake? No one's going to put a baseball player with a snake on a baseball card. So it's got to be that he was shirtless. You must have thought he was a stud.
You thought he was shirtless?
Yeah.
Nah, he was holding a python. We look into
I knew it.
You knew it. We don't know why he was holding a python. He liked pythons.
That's the craziest move for a ball player.
It is. It was pretty cool. Maybe he was high on amphetamines. We don't know. All right, last question. Let's see if we can get this one. In 1989, relief pitcher Paul Gibson's card was recalled and airbrushed after it was released because fans noticed what about the original picture? A, there was a player in the background grabbing his crotch. B, Gibson was holding the ball with only his middle finger. Or C, there is a naked woman reflected in his sunglasses.
Wow, that's a good photo shoot.
Isn't it, though? You have to make him
naked
smile somehow.
Naked woman in his eyes. That can't be it. What was A again?
A was there's a player in the background grabbing his crotch.
That's probably more likely. I mean, that ball players, you know, always grabbing their crotches.
Is that your choice?
Yeah.
You're right. That's exactly what happened. For the reason you say. It was an action shot taken during a game, and the player behind him on second base is doing what baseball players do. He's grabbing his crotch. Carl, how did John Leguizamo do in our quiz?
Well, John needed at least two correct answers to win for Trish Kelly, but he had just one correct answer.
Oh, man.
It's fodder. It's fodder for your resentment and anger. You'll make it art, man.
I'm feeling mighty resentful.
It's good.
Not as resentful as Trish is.
Yeah, well. John Leguizamo's new show, Ghetto Clown, begins performances Monday on Broadway at the Lyceum Theater. John Leguizamo, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Don't Tell Me. Good luck with the show. Break a leg.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm gonna give me one more moonshine, because I'm a baseball card lover. I'm a baseball card lover.
He's a baseball card lover.
I'm a baseball card lover.
In just a minute, Carl eats an entire box of rhyme in one sitting. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, though, some more questions for you from the week's news. Charlie, you remember about 2 weeks ago, New York Representative Chris Lee resigned after he got busted for sending a shirtless photo of himself to a woman on Craigslist, also while lying about his age and his marital status. Well, it turns out that ex-Congressman Lee did that immediately after attending a workshop on what topic?
Carpentry.
No.
Social networking. I mean,
sort of close.
Use of the internet.
Exactly right. Using the internet wisely, in fact. Lee was at a Republican retreat at a hotel in Baltimore, and he attended a lecture on, quote, intelligent use of information technology. Presumably it was about topics such as how to use Twitter, Facebook, and remembering to use a fake name when trolling for chicks on Craigslist. Or maybe he just heard a long list of things that the internet makes possible and he got all excited to try them out and left just before the lecturer said, "And that concludes my list of things you should never, ever do."
I have to say, as obviously a bad a decision as that was for him, how old was he really? He was lying.
He was 46, and he said he was 39 and single.
I have to be honest. If I looked like that at 46, I would be sending everyone in America a picture of myself shirtless.
Oh, excuse me.
That guy looked good.
No, he didn't look that good.
Here we go.
He really... He didn't look nearly as good as he thought he looked.
Well, that's because he was wearing... He was wearing pleated Dockers and a belt and no shirt and taking a picture of himself with a black
beard. I was going to say, taking a picture of yourself with your own phone is really kind of geeky.
Do you usually borrow someone's phone?
I borrow someone
for that?
Else's, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think what we found here
I also borrow someone else's upper body.
Roxanne, on Tuesday, the Supreme Court will mark the 5-year anniversary of the last time what happened.
The last time Clarence Thomas said a word
exactly
from the bench.
Right, in oral argument. The last time Justice Clarence Thomas spoke in session. Instead of questioning the lawyers or engaging in colloquies with his fellow justices, Clarence Thomas has spent the last 5 years of oral arguments on the Supreme Court on mute. Now, we have enough tape of his last statement 5 years ago. You're going to hear some other justices. See if you can tell where Justice Thomas jumps in.
We've never had a case like this before.
If I may interject, that's not so much jurisprudential as it's jurispreposterous.
So maybe that's why he doesn't want to speak anymore.
So let me see if I have this correct.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years,
yes.
Supreme Court Justice John Marshall,
yeah.
Earl Warren, Thurgood Marshall and Clarence Thomas have all said exactly the same number of words.
That's true.
In the Supreme Court.
It may be that 5 years ago, he and Ruth Bader Ginsburg said the word ergo at exactly the same time, and she jinxed him. Luke, the Catholic Church has been around for centuries, but they're trying to modernize, so they're proud to say that you can now do what on your iPhone?
I have this on my iPhone. It is an app that lets you confess.
That's exactly right. So you have it.
I absolutely have it on my phone.
Right. And did you feel the need to do it?
Well, it's actually, it's not quite, it's like I thought you were going to log in and then it would be Skype and the Pope would be.
Right.
what can I help you with? But no, it's actually really the way it works is you put a list of your sins throughout the week that you've committed and then it saves them for you. And then when it's time for confession, you just have your sins right there in case you'd forgotten anything.
Really?
Yes.
So it's like having a spreadsheet for evil.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't Excel of
bad decisions.
It doesn't spit back a result like, okay, you need to do, for these, you need to do 2 Hail Marys, 4 Our Fathers, 3 Angry Birds. It doesn't.
So Charlie Sheen has to carry around Watson with
yes,
him, for
does.
Example.
Yes, he does. So important smart user tip, though, power user tip, do not mistake this app for Twitter, or your friends will be like, wow, he's really being brutally frank today. Roxanne, security experts are constantly looking for new methods of screening passengers. Now they think they've hit upon a winner. If a new system is put into place, passengers will be screened by what?
Let's see, we've got this dogs, right? That's done. The x-rays are over. The pat-downs, unfortunately, a thing of the past, so.
Wait, I know an ex-congressman might be interested in me.
Exactly. You don't want someone sending you a naked picture, but please grope me at Dulles.
I'm going to need a hint.
You're going to need, they'll be especially good at discovering attempts to smuggle cheese onto airplanes.
Rats?
Close.
Mice?
Yes. Mice.
Mice?
Mice will be working the TSA stations at airports, possibly. Now we know why Mickey Mouse is wearing those gloves. If Israeli scientists have their way, the next time you go through airport security, 8 mice might be the ones working the gate. These mice work 4-hour shifts inside cartridges in a body scanner. and when they catch a whiff of explosives or anything suspicious, they immediately run, and that triggers an alarm. Mouse screeners have done very well in tests, and they might end up in American airports someday, meaning you could choose between the full-body scanner, the full-body pat-down, or the rodents down your pants.
I'm going to make all those little tiny badges.
That's the easy part. Try pinning them to the mice.
Oh. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. Call 1-888-924-8924 or click the Contact Us link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and also our upcoming show in Charleston, South Carolina on May 26th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Melissa from New York.
Hey, how are things in New York, Melissa?
Warm.
Yeah, I know. Are you enjoying that?
It's certainly better than 20.
Yeah, that's true. You guys had a pretty rough winter in New York.
We have, and it's not yet over, I'm sure.
Well, welcome to the show, Melissa. Now, you, of course, are going to play our Limerick Challenge. Carl will read for you three news-related limericks. He will not finish them. That is your job. Do that two times out of three. You'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Here's your first limerick.
We need sidewalk lanes labeled by age, so from old folks I might disengage. On each city block, they slow down to talk. I can't move, so I have sidewalk
rage.
Right. So you're rushing down the sidewalk to get to that matinee of Just Go With It, and some dude in front of you is barely moving and blocking your way. If you want to kill him, you're not crazy. You just have pedestrian aggressiveness syndrome or sidewalk rage. So says Colorado State University. It's widespread. There is actually a Facebook group, this is true, called I Secretly Want to Punch Slow Walking People in the Back of the Head. And it has 15,000 members. Those of you in the Facebook group, I just got punched in the back of the head on the sidewalk. What did I do? Now you know.
How slow is slow?
Slower than me! All right, very good. Here is your next limerick.
A neat trick that they teach in law classes is that meekness appeals to the masses. With imperfect vision, you won't go to prison. You'll go free if you just wear those
glasses.
Right. The New York Daily News reported this week on a new tactic being deployed by defense lawyers. It's called the nerd defense. It involves wearing glasses in court in an attempt to appear trustworthy and harmless. As one lawyer said, quote, I always tell clients to get a pair, the nerdier the better, unquote. This is, of course, why Ira Glass has been able to commit horrible crimes with impunity. All right, here's your last limerick.
While some folks their wheels are retreading, to connubial bliss I am heading. We're building our trust. We're building on trust and protection from rust. At a dealership, we'll have our...
Betting. I'm not getting this.
Betting is, you got the rhyme right. There's a reference to connubial bliss in the limerick. Does that help?
Wedding.
Yes, there you
Sorry.
Go. Wedding. No, you got it. We have been keeping our eye on this show, on the growing trend of weddings in unusual places, funeral homes, parking garages. This week, it's the Rick Case Honda dealership in Miami. People are having weddings there. Being married in a car dealership can save you money, but only if you bring a copy of the invoice and absolutely refuse to pay for your bride's undercoating.
Okay.
What's it going to take to get you into this marriage? You know, the kind of bride you drive says a lot about you.
I like to be at the dealership when the big carrier truck with all the brides on it comes in.
Carl, how did Melissa do in our quiz?
Well, Melissa was perfect, Peter. Three correct answers. Melissa, you win our prize.
Well done, Melissa. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Luke Burbank has 3 points. Charlie Pierce has 3 points. Roxanne Roberts has two.
All right, Roxanne, you're going to be up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Arcade Fire and Esperanza Spalding were the surprise winners at this year's Blank Awards.
Grammys.
Right. In his first interview since he was jailed in 2008, Ponzi schemer Blank said the banks were complicit in his fraud.
Madoff.
Right. Bernie Madoff. On Thursday, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said that because of opposition in Congress, the odds of closing the detention center at Blank were very low.
Guantanamo.
Right. The Los Angeles County Health Department is investigating why 200 people became ill after a party at the Blank Mansion.
Playboy.
Right. A British woman who complained about a smoke alarm going off nonstop for 7 days eventually discovered it was Blank.
Hers.
No, a parrot outside imitating a smoke alarm. Tiger Woods was fined and issued an apology for blanking during a tournament in Dubai.
Spitting.
Right. Prince William announced this week that his best man for his upcoming wedding will be Blank.
His younger brother, Harry.
Exactly right. This week at the UN, India's external affairs minister was stopped by an aide 3 minutes into his speech because he was blanking.
Because he was snoring.
No, because he was reading the Portuguese foreign minister's speech. Ah. So he picks up the wrong paper and he begins. He says, quote, on a more personal note, allow me to express my profound satisfaction at having two members of the Portuguese-speaking countries together here today. Unquote. And he kept on going. 3 minutes or so till his aide stopped him. At that point, he really said, do I have to start over? The redo went over much better. How could you not succeed with an opening line like, hello, I am President Hu Jintao of China?
I totally missed that. That's awesome. Yeah.
Carl, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
Roxanne had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 14 points, and Roxanne has the lead.
All right. All right, we have flipped a coin. Charlie's elected to go last. Luke, you're up. Fill in the blank. Following weeks of scandal, this week, Italian Prime Minister Blank was indicted on prostitution charges.
Silvio Berlusconi.
Right. At the end of the week, Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg were among the technology CEOs who met with Blank.
The president?
Yes, President Obama, announcing that they would close 30% of their stores in the next few weeks. Bookstore chain Blank filed for bankruptcy.
Borders.
Right. Schools closed in Wisconsin as teachers converged in the Capitol building to protest a bill that would limit Blank rights.
Collective bargaining.
Right. A team of 25 firefighters at a frozen pond in Germany launched a full-scale rescue of what turned out to be a Blank.
Pretend swan.
Indeed, in a call for the Dan Patrick Show. 2.5 Men star Blank said that he thinks sobriety is boring.
Charlie Sheen.
Right. According to new data from the FBI, St. Louis is now the most Blank American city.
Violent.
Yes. A superintendent at the Manhattan Housing Office is suing his employers, claiming his boss Blanks.
Sleeps on the job.
Makes him vomit. According to Anthony Dingle, his boss was so critical it literally made him barf. Quote, every time I heard that voice, it triggered a sickening feeling in me, unquote, Dingle said in his lawsuit. While we have sympathy for Mr. Dingle, it now gets a lot harder for the rest of us to complain about our bosses. Oh, you're having a tough day at work? Did your boss's voice make you vomit? No, get back to work. Carl, how did Luke do in our quiz?
Luke had a great round, Peter. 7 correct answers, 14 more points. He now has 17 points,
right.
And Luke has
the
lead.
That's impressive. So, how many, then, does Charlie need to win?
7 to tie, 8 to win outright.
All right, that's a lot. Here we go, Charlie. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Investigators said Thursday that BP did not consult workers in the Deepwater Horizon who could have prevented Blank.
The blowout.
Right, the Gulf oil spill. An Iraqi man who lied about the presence of weapons of mass destruction facilities said he did so to oust Blank from power.
Saddam Hussein.
Right, speculation increased this week that disagreements over federal spending could lead to the first Blank since 1995.
Government shutdown.
Yes, Hickory the Scottish Deerhound won Best in Show at this year's Blank.
Westminster.
Yes, dog show. To capitalize on Valentine's Day, the Bronx Zoo offered people looking for the perfect gift the chance to Blank.
Get married in the monkey house.
No, name a hissing cockroach after their loved one.
Oh.
Saying his show had been duped, David Letterman announced that Blank would not appear to read a top 10 list.
Lindsay Lohan.
Right, after This American Life revealed what seemed to be their secret recipe, Blank denied it was the true formula.
Coca-Cola.
Right, officials in Indiana held a vote to name a new city building, but they're rejecting the winning suggestion, which would name the center after beloved former Fort Wayne Mayor Blank.
The guy's name is like Balls.
Yes, it is Harry
Can
Balls.
Can I say that?
You did. That's his name, Charlie.
I believe it has two A's, though.
It does. It's B. It's hairy balls.
So let's be fair. He could be a Babylonian deity.
He could be. It's the Hairy Balls Government Center led all candidates by 20,000 votes in the internet polling, but it may just end up getting called Citizens Plaza. Turns out the very same officials who praised the erection of the building have now scratched hairy balls. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Well, Charlie needed at least 7 correct answers to tie. He had 7 correct
answers.
So with 17 points, Charlie Pierce and Luke Burbank are this week's co-champions.
Well done. Congratulations. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists. We're going to ask them, now that Watson has beaten us at Jeopardy, who will be the next computer to beat us at our own game. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, providing resources for home ownership at houselogic.com. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Nick Park. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. And the winner, I should say, of this week's Name That Crime contest on our blog, and involved a wayward chicken sandwich, is K Signal Eingang. Congratulations. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Showbiz Butterhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Panel, what computer will beat us at what next? Charlie Pierce.
Well, it's the brand new computer that's going to manage the Chicago Cubs, Peter. Yes, it's the new Futility 4000.
Can't do any worse. Roxanne Roberts.
The Palin 2012. It doesn't know much, but gets $1 million for every answer.
And Luke Burbank.
The Dude Bro 2700, a robot that can not only out-cocaine bender Charlie Sheen, but turn in a more lifelike performance on a sitcom.
Well, if any of those computers show up, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Luke Burbank, Charlie Pierce, and Roxanne Roberts. Thanks to our fabulous audience. Thank you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.